From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon. It is Monday, October 7th. Welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. Tony is spending some needed time, some important time with his family, and he'll be back a little bit later on. All right, coming up on today's program.
Everybody right now in Israel is remembering what happened a year ago, which I promise you was worse than I know you've seen footage, and I know you're on Telegram, and I know you, I promise you, I was in the first group of journalists that saw the massacre footage. It's worse than you know. I can't repeat what my friends at the IDF have told me. It will give you nightmares.
Well, that was Daniel Cohen, news director of Real Life Network. That was during a panel on Israel that we had during last week's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Of course, all of us here at Family Research Council stand with and we pray for Israel, not all through the year only, but even on this specific first anniversary of the October 7th attack. So much has taken place in Israel since that deadly day. And so even as we take time today to pause and reflect on October 7th, we recognize that Israel remains at war. I'll be talking about that with Missouri Congressman Mark Alford, who is a member of the House Armed Services Committee, here in just a few moments. And later in the program, best-selling author and geopolitical expert Joel Rosenberg will join me with his reflections on October 7th and how Israel should respond to last week's attack by Iran. And in addition to Israel, last week's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit covered a lot of important topics, featured many great, great speakers. I certainly hope you had an opportunity to tune in over the weekend and join us. But if you were not able to do so, don't worry, there's still hope. You can still catch it, and I assure you, you want to. It was one of the most powerful events that I have been to. You can, of course, go to our Stand Firm app, or you can go to our website, tonyperkins.com, to find out more. And I strongly, strongly encourage you to do so. Also, throughout this week, we'll do a little bit of recap on the summit because so much of it was so powerful. In fact, a little bit later in the program today, I'll be joined by Akil Pano, who's an Albanian pastor who has been prosecuted by a human rights tribunal for expressing himself on God's view of family. Well, he was there at the summit with us, and he'll join me to discuss the highlights and to share how this weekend encouraged him in his work for standing for truth in Albania. And speaking of standing for truth, you very likely missed this. You know how the media is this day, to cover up and not report some very critical issues as it relates to, in this case, the First Amendment. But last week in North Carolina, officials had a pastor handcuffed and forcefully removed from a school board meeting for doing just that. He was calling attention to pornographic material that students are exposed to. And what happened to him was in violation of North Carolina's Parental Bill of Rights.
We want justice for the trans students who have a mental illness, but we give no justice to children across the board. You want to know why you all don't give justice to everyone? Because you lie about diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI is the ultimate black face. You say it's about Negroes and black people, but it's really about pushing a trans agenda. And guess what? Since you like to break laws, since you won't give Lorena Benson justice, when this clock hits 3 minutes, I'm not going anywhere.
Wow, that was Pastor John Amanchukwu at the board meeting right before being arrested, and he will join me a little bit later in today's program to talk about that story. So we have a lot, as always, coming your way, a packed program. And let's jump into our first topic right now. 1 year ago today, Hamas terrorists attacked Israel, killing more than 1,200 innocent civilians while capturing many, many hostages, including some American citizens. And even as the memorial events take place today all around the world, we remember that Israel remains a country at war for its very existence. And joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Mark Alford. He serves on the House Armed Services Committee, as well as the Ag Committee. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri. Congressman Alford, always great to have you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Jody. God bless you on this day that we commemorate all those lives lost, innocent lives in Israel, including 43 Americans.
Yeah, it's incredible to think. You know, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe it's already been a year. I remember it like it was yesterday. And yet it was October 7th. It's just amazing. So much water under the bridge over this past year. Let's start with this. Your thoughts as we remember the October 7th attacks.
Well, Jody, I think it's like any memorable event that is a hallmark, a defining moment in history. You knew where you were when you started hearing about the news. But Jody, when we think about this anniversary, first anniversary commemoration, Israel has been living this every single day. We were over there in April, April 3rd through the 11th, visiting with hostage family members, going to Nir Oz, the kibbutz where so many people were slaughtered, burned alive, raped in front of their relatives. We went to the Nova concert site. And the one thing that I gleaned from all of this, as we look at some of the video from that day and some of our trip there to Nir Oz there, you're looking at the places that are still burned out, left there as a memorial to those who died. The one thing that I gleaned from this that will never leave me is that folks in Israel live this every day. Every day for them is October 7th, 2023. And while we have now gone 1 year, nothing has changed for them. They are still being assaulted at all sides from Islamic terrorists who want them dead. And that is something we need to take heart today, to resolve to stand by Israel, to not let any light shine between us and them. The way it's been since 1948, and Harry S. Truman from Missouri helped the United Nations guide Israel into a nation state. We've got to make sure that we tell everyone that Benjamin Netanyahu is an ally of the United States, that we stand by them and we will help them finish the job of eradicating Hamas.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, it's again, another head scratcher that we are in a situation where we are having to encourage our own administration to do just what you said. In fact, you have been one of those who have been very outspoken all along in regard to the U.S. Needing to remain steadfast in our support for Israel, our ally, as they are in the fight of their life for peace and security. What would you like to see? I mean, when we talk to this administration, what are you looking for them to do?
I'm looking for them to release the armaments that we approved, authorized, and approved, and were shipping over there, the JDAM precision-guided armaments that could go into the tunnels and take out, surgically remove the remaining 2,000 Islamic terrorists and possibly send more of the mastermind behind this. I'm looking for this administration to get behind Benjamin Netanyahu instead of playing footsie and trying to play both sides. This is not a both sides of the deal thing for America. This is supporting Israel, because I guarantee you one thing, Jody, we are the great Satan in their eyes. Israel is the little Satan. And when they're done with Israel, they're coming after us, if not before then. We have got to make sure that we are on our knees praying, but we are standing up in defense of Israel.
Yeah, and when you look at what we've allowed across our southern border, you better be sure to realize they are already here to do whatever damage they want to inflict or terrorist activity in the United States. You know, and we have watched, and not only for the year, really for the last 4 years, almost 4 years, continual weakness and appeasement on the world stage by the Biden-Harris administration, or the Harris-Biden administration, ever how you want to describe this. Do you see any change whatsoever? Are you hearing anything that gives you any encouragement that this administration is going to do what they said they would do? You said that we are they're still withholding armament from Israel. Is that for real? Is none of that stuff has been delivered yet, to your knowledge?
Some of it has, but the important armaments that need to go to the IDF to finish off the job, they're holding on to them. Look, we have authorized and appropriated the funds in the supplemental package for this to happen. And they are tying the hands of the Israelis, the hands of the IDF, so they can't finish their job. You know, they also got this humanitarian pier going. You remember the humanitarian pier? I think it was $200 million.
Oh, yeah.
The Biden administration, it did not work. As we told them, it would not work. The Hamas terrorists are holding 90% of all the humanitarian aid that comes in and only giving 10% to their people. They use the Palestinian people, the people in Gaza, as human shields. They build tunnels and launch missiles from and rockets from hospitals and homes. And the reality is that the Hamas leadership does not care about the people of Gaza, and sending more humanitarian aid that's simply going to be used as a tool for their propaganda is not working. We've got to wake up.
Yeah, let me play a quick clip for you. This was Kamala Harris on 60 Minutes. Play clip one for me, if you would.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
Wow. Your reaction to that, what in the world is she trying to say there?
You know, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about being lukewarm. And I think he would rather us as Christians either be doing something, be active, hot for Christianity, and hot for spreading the gospel, or just do nothing and be out of the picture, get out of the way. But don't be on the fence. Don't be tepid, because God will spew you out of his mouth. I feel like spewing Kamala Harris out of my mouth. This tepid, disgusting answer that creates doubt and uncertainty between our relationship and Israel. I never thought I would see someone running for president say something like this. This should automatically disqualify her from even running. And yet the progressive liberal Democrats in this country don't see our relationship as with Israel as something to be cherished and fought for. They would rather have the votes in Michigan and Minnesota from the people in the Islamic community there, who they're afraid of losing congressional seats and possibly electoral votes, that they are willing to turn their back on Israel. That is disgusting.
Yeah, I think you may have just hit the nail right on the head with that. I mean, this seems to be more of a political answer than an answer of reality. And as you said, it does nothing but cast doubt on our relationship with the leadership of Israel. And if there is not a good relationship between the leadership of Israel and the United States, then there's no good end to where this thing can be. It's just stunning to me to look at. Thank you so much, Congressman Mark Alford. It's always great to have you on the program. Thanks for all you do and for representing Missouri and our country. We deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
It's my honor to serve. Thank you.
All right, friends, we've got much, much more coming your way on Washington Watch. In fact, after the break, I want to share some of the highlights from the Pray Vote Stand Summit. And listen, you don't want to miss this. Again, it is heartfelt, what you're about to experience. So thank you for joining us. We'll be right back right after the break. Stay tuned.
Are you a Christian parent looking to raise a spiritual champion in today's culture? Renowned author George Barna has written a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions. This book offers valuable insights based on extensive research conducted by George Barna, the Family Research Council, and Arizona Christian University. Learn how to help your children discern biblical truth and find compelling meaning and purpose. Don't miss out on this essential resource for parents. Order your copy today.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone, because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to have you joining us today. We appreciate it a great deal. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony. All right, in addition to featuring many leaders from Washington, D.C. and beyond, people like House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senator Josh Hawley, and a host of others, the 2024 Pray Vote Stand Summit offered some incredible panel discussions. And we highlighted some subjects of concern, obviously, for conservative voters. And it also included some powerful addresses and encouragement for Christians to continue to stand for truth.
Neutrality is not an option. There are many Christians who believe that if we just keep our heads down, that if we just go about our lives, that if we just stay off social media and if we just don't say the wrong thing, that somehow we will come out of this unscathed. You're naive if you think that. Because what they want from us is not our silence. What they want from us is our submission.
Wow. That was Dr. Avoti Bakum, and I remember vividly when he made that statement, and it was a piercing piece of reality that went straight to the heart. Well, my next guest knows what it's like to be pressured not only to silence, but to submission. Joining me now to discuss this is Pastor Akil Pano from Albania. He also spoke at the Pray Vote Stand Summit. He's an advisory board member of the Albania National Pro-Life and Pro-Family Coalition, and he knows what it is to be prosecuted for hate speech simply for discussing the Bible on Albanian TV. Pastor Pano, welcome back to Washington Watch. It's an honor, sir.
It's my honor. Thank you so much.
Well, you and I have a lot in common from being pastors who God took from there to stand in the gap, and you have done so with tremendous courage and bravery, and just an example to so many. And I just want to say personally, pastor to pastor, thank you for your courageous stand. It's a great, great example for many. If I can get your general reaction to the Pray Vote Stand Summit, of course, this is coming at a time here in the U.S. We've got elections coming up in less than 30 days. We've got Israel enmeshed in a fight of her life. We've got natural disasters right here in our own country. But your overall assessment of the Pray Vote Stand Summit. How was it to you personally?
It has been amazing, an amazing journey, and it is every year. This is our third year that we are coming on a row, myself and my wife. We are coming from Albania, thousands of miles far, but it is very dear. It's a very peculiar event for not just the conservatives in the United States, but it's a huge encouragement to all the Christian leaders all over the world. So please accept my thanks and my gratitude on the behalf of the Christian leaders in Europe, in the Balkans region, in the countries that are governed by socialist, leftist governments. We are struggling, I mean, big time, as you already referred in the beginning of this conversation. I've had three different court cases with the State Commissioner Against Discrimination in Albania because I defended father and mother in relation to numbers, parent one and parent two. As the pastor that was preaching and making a huge impact in so many people's lives in the summit, he said neutrality is not an option. I should add it, it always comes with a price. Standing for the truth comes with a price. Standing for the Lord in your nation comes with a price. I have been for the last 30 years a pastor in Albania, and I'm a professor of philosophy at the State University in the same time. I always knew that it is so good, you know, to run your own on your own track, to run your own race. But together with the gospel, there are causes that are connected. So family, marriage between a woman and a man, taking care of the children, defending the children from gender ideology in schools, and standing up, making sure that our voices would be heard in the culture of council culture. So many of the pastors in Europe are being counseled as they are speaking the truth of the Bible. And many of them, they are challenged to compromise. So the summit, it has been amazing because it gives heart, courage, strength to all of us all over the world. It's not just the impact that the summit has within United States of America. Nations like Albania and other nations in Europe, they are facing exactly the same issues that you here are facing in relation to immigration. I mean, I'm talking about illegal immigration, in relation to council culture, in relation to censorship in so many ways. So we need to stand together. Being conservative and Christian and standing on your own is not enough. Always in Albania, I'm telling to our people that at the front of this global movement, locally, it is almost impossible to fight and to stand. We need to stand together in unity, and by God's grace, we'll win.
Absolutely. We've only got a little over a minute left. What would you say to other pastors, be it here in the United States or around the world, who, for whatever reason, are sitting on their hands, so to speak? They are not stepping up. They're not engaging. They're not teaching a biblical worldview. They're fearful or whatever reason. What is your message to pastors at this point in our global history?
My message, it would be very, very specific, because in 1 month's time, you are having election, and it is very sad that almost half of the body of the evangelical believers in the United States, they don't go to vote. I mean, just to remember, you are not voting on the criteria of personalities. You are voting on the criteria of the platforms of the candidates. So if you want somebody to stand for your freedom of faith in this nation, if you are looking for having someone that will stand for the rights of the parents to take care of their children and to protect their rights, vote for Trump. If you want your country clean, vote for President Trump. So I just want to encourage you, stand, pray, and vote. Vote
Thank
for
you.
President Trump.
Thank you, Pastor Akil Pano, Albania. Thank you for your courageous stand. We're so honored to have had you at Pray Vote Stand, and thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thank you.
All right, friends, after the break, we're going to hear from a pastor here in our own country who was handcuffed last week for standing for truth. Stay tuned.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Good afternoon. Hope you're having a great Monday. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Delighted to have you on board with us. All right, last week in Wake County, North Carolina, officials had Pastor John Amanchukwu handcuffed and forcibly removed from a school board meeting after he called for the arrest of the school board members for allowing pornographic materials into their schools. The pastor referenced North Carolina's Parental Bill of Rights, which went into effect this year, and it protects students from having such material forced upon them. Well, I'm honored that he is now joining us, Pastor Amanchukwu. He's the first assistant and youth and young adult pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's also the author of Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. Pastor John, always great to see you, my friend. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Unbelievable. And we are now watching pastors arrested for simply standing for truth. Tell us what happened last week.
Well, I went to the Wake County School Board meeting for two reasons. Number one, the HB 49 is not being fully enacted in Wake County. Number two, a young girl by the name of Lorena Benson came to the Wake County School Board meeting about 2 weeks ago and talked about a situation that took place in the class where she was forced to read from a short story that was rather pornographic and incestuous. It was a story about a young boy putting his banana into a girl's tomato. And then they had to discuss that in class. And she was traumatized by him to the point that she has left Athens Drive High School and she's now going to another school system. She poured out her heart at a school board meeting and addressed this issue. 2 weeks later, the Wake County School Board meeting had done nothing about it to bring her justice and justice rightfully. Now, during the summer of 2020, we all heard about no justice, no peace. After the death of George Floyd, that's what everyone was saying as they were robbing and looting and tearing down buildings through BLM and Antifa. My question today is, where is the justice for the kids in Wake County who have this gender confusion topic pushed upon them? And where is the justice for Lorena Benson? So I came to seek justice. And after I finished speaking for 3 minutes, I told the school board, since you all like to break laws, when my time is up, I'm not leaving the podium until they arrest every person on the school board for not standing up for truth and guarding the freedoms of the students that are in that school district.
And there's a video of what happened, and clearly it was a peaceful protest by you. I guess watching this, Pastor, and seeing, I mean, you were standing for truth, and you're calling it for what it is, and doing so with courage, but peacefully. You're just stating it, and you get arrested. What do you say? How can parents, for example, parents who want to get involved to protect their children, parents who want their voices to be heard, what do you say to them, and what can they expect if they take a stand?
Well, I've now spoken in 15 states defending the honor of children, speaking up against critical race theory, gender theory, and queer theory. And there are three takeaways that I have. Number one, perverts are perverting the hearts and the minds of our children. Number two, parents are unaware. And sadly, number three, the Christian church, in particular pastors, have failed to do their job. If parents would like to learn how to become more steeped in these issues and to receive the necessary training and development and to receive my free resources, my battle plan, and my toolkit, they can go to my website at iknowgod.us and receive these free resources. I am arming parents likewise around the country and developing them and teaching them how to even write speeches, be able to contend for the honor of their child. Now, it's up to the church in this hour to speak up. Too many pastors have become woke. Too many pastors are more beholden to the donkey than they are the cross. They have failed to defend the sacred honor of our children. And our children are on loan to the parents by God, not to the government school system.
Well, you also have a new documentary. We've only got a couple of minutes here. Tell us about that film that's coming out.
Yes, go to 22wordsfilm.com. That's 22wordsfilm.com. This documentary released this past Thursday. The term 22 words, the title there, comes from a non-denominational, non-proselytizing prayer that was in the public school system back in 1962, which was banned by a Marxist atheist by the name of Madeleine O'Hare. It's a simple prayer that says, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That prayer was non-offensive. It didn't reference Allah, Buddha, Reverend Sun Yon Moon, or even Jesus Christ. But that prayer was banned. And since that prayer was banned in the public school system, we've gone from prayer to porn, from prayer to transgenderism being pushed upon kids, from prayer to critical race theory, where whites are being told that because of their pigmentation, that they are racist, and blacks are being told that they are proverbial victims. We've gone from prayer to now kids come into school saying that they are an animal, so they get to bring a litter box to school to be a cat. The American education system has become ruined, but we can right the course. Go see this documentary. It will expose you to what happened in the past and what we can do right now in the present.
Thank you so much, Pastor John Amanchukwu. You are yet again another pastor standing up and taking some punches, but standing courageously for truth. And we are deeply, deeply grateful. Thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
God bless you. Thank you for having me.
All right, friends, after the break, best-selling author and geopolitical expert Joel Rosenberg will be joining me as we continue our reflection on this first anniversary of October 7th. Stay tuned.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in him through his word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible and join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
The world is hurting. Streets are filled with crime. Families are broken. Sin is celebrated and God is mocked. Everywhere we look, the wages of our sin are on full display. As Christians, we know that surrender to God's will is the solution to our biggest problems, but not everyone agrees. Even in church, we hear people say the most important thing is to be tolerant, that we shouldn't impose a morality on other people, and that loving our neighbor means celebrating what they do. But you can't do that. It's not that you don't love your neighbor, you do. But you care about God's opinion more than your neighbor's opinion, and this makes you different. In fact, sometimes it makes you feel alone, like you're the only one. But there is good news. You are not alone, not even close. Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these SageCons yourself, go to frc.org/SageCon and take the quiz to find out. The world is hurting, and we have the solution. We can't do it alone, but we can do it if we work together. That's what we're working toward every day. Join us. Go to frc.org/SageCon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host for today, Jody Heiss, sitting in for Tony this week, and glad to have you on board with us as well. All right, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, we are less than a month away from the 2024 election. And friends, America needs our prayers. So will you join FRC in praying for a spiritual awakening in our country and praying for this upcoming election? And I just want to encourage you to do this. You can download FRC's free 40-day election prayer guide. A 40-day election prayer guide. Sure is free. Just simply text the word PRAY to 67742. Again, text the word PRAY to 67742. Okay, as we reflect on the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel, we also remember that Israel remains a country at war for its right literally to exist. And last week, as you well know, Iran launched nearly 200 ballistic missiles at Israel. It's the regime's second direct attack on Israel this year. Well, how should Israel respond to all of this? Joining me now to discuss this is best-selling author and geopolitical expert Joel Rosenberg. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of both All Israel and All Arab News. He's the host of the Rosenberg Report on TBN. As you well know, he's the author of many books, including The Libyan Diversion and Enemies and Allies. Joel, welcome to Washington Watch. It's an honor to have you.
Congressman, great to be with you. Thank you for having me on, especially such an important, although somber day as this.
Hey, you're not kidding. And I know, goodness, with you, your family, you are deeply engaged in Israel. I mean, you're right in the middle of it all on so many fronts. You've written extensively. Give us your reflections on this October 7th anniversary and what this day means.
Well, one thing is, Congressman, I it's a little strange for me to be outside of Israel right now. My wife and I are on a one-month speaking tour, helping evangelical leaders and lay people better understand, yeah, what's happening, why it matters, how to pray, how can Christians stand with Israel, but also have sympathy, compassion, and love for Palestinians, for Lebanese, for the Iranians, everybody engaged in this horrific war. But yeah, we are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. We were in Israel, in our apartment in Jerusalem on October 7th, Saturday morning last year, when 8 rounds of missiles were fired from Gaza at Jerusalem. We've had 8 rounds of air raid sirens that day. Interestingly enough, our oldest son and his wife and her twin brother had been visiting us for about 10 days or so. We'd taken them to Egypt to climb inside, the pyramids and go on a dinner cruise on the Nile and see King Tut's treasures. And then we'd taken them all over Israel. Caleb, our oldest, had, of course, moved with us to Israel when we first moved there 10 years ago. But he'd gone back to marry his college sweetheart. And so now his wife and his brother-in-law were there visiting for their first time. They'd never been to Israel before. And it was such a wonderful time. And we woke up that morning, that beautiful fall morning of October 7th, and we were going to have one final brunch together and then take them to the airport to go home. And that day went sideways. And it set into motion. The more Jews were murdered that one day, October 7th of last year, than on any other day since the Holocaust. Israelis, limbs chopped off while they were alive, burned alive in their homes, women raped, men raped, boys, women, girls and boys raped. I don't even want to say more because it was just so demonic. And of course, like 3,000 missiles were fired at Israel that day. But that was not just a one-day horror show. It has gone on for an entire year now, and almost 30,000 missiles have been fired at Israel. You mentioned that Iran itself has now been, taking the gloves off and attacking us directly, even though all the other attacks are really driven by the Iranian regime. So it's a dangerous time. Israel has started to turn the tide. We are winning. We can go into that if you'd like. But Israelis are grieving. Palestinians are grieving. It is a very painful year. And of course, most Israelis and most Palestinians don't know the Lord personally through faith in Jesus, the Messiah. So they don't have those assurances that come with knowing Jesus personally, that they will have peace that passes all comprehension. And that is that's especially painful to see our friends and neighbors grieving without hope.
Well, and I do pray and am hearing actually reports that there is an openness right now to Yeshua like never before among many Israelis. And I know we can speak to that as well. And I do want to get back to your point about the war. I will say this, though. We had Daniel Cohen, who's with Real Life Network. He joined us last week for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Tremendous guy, Daniel. And he was coming over here 8.5 hours into his flight. He receives a video of his wife who had just picked up his daughter from gymnastics. They were headed home when those nearly 200 ballistic missiles started falling all around them. And I've just got to tell you, watching that video, he showed it for us. I mean, if the emotions can come through any greater on a short video, I don't know how it could happen. It just brought a real life understanding of what you said is happening there every day in Israel over the past year. So I do want to come back to how the war is going right now, but you are in the U.S. right now. You're traveling, you're speaking about what's happening in Israel, Gaza, Iran, Lebanon, the border, all around. What do you want us to know, and what kind of response are you getting across the board from Americans?
Well, the first thing I want people to know is that Israel is being cut loose. We're at war with the Iranian regime and all of its terror proxy allies. They're attacking us from 7 different directions at once, okay? And yet, the British have imposed an arms embargo on Israel. The French just decided in recent days to impose an arms embargo on Israel. The Biden-Harris administration hasn't put an arms embargo, but it isn't delivering the $26 billion worth of arms and aid that Congress approved and that the president signed. It is not moving quickly the ammunition resupply, the missile interceptor resupply, and other weapons resupply. Why? Because Biden and Harris are trying to leverage those, you know, the slow release of those weapons and ammunition to do what? To get Israel to surrender. Now, they don't use the word surrender. They use the words permanent ceasefire, accept a ceasefire, 21-day ceasefire. It all is tantamount to surrender. And Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, you know, has a lot of critics and a lot of supporters. But the bottom line is he has decided to not listen anymore. I mean, he's listening, but he's not agreeing with either President Biden or Vice President Harris. And so, for example, just a week and a half ago, you know, Biden and Harris were insisting, demanding a 21-day ceasefire in Lebanon, except that they, in their statement, they didn't even use the word Hezbollah. So whom were we supposed to be ceasing fire with, right? They're not, if you're not even going to call out the enemy who started this war and it continues to attack us, that's a problem. Instead, Netanyahu, rather than accepting and bowing to that pressure of the White House, he decided to do a kill shot. He did a decapitation strike against the top 18 leaders of Hezbollah, including Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, the 32-year demonic, you know, director of Hezbollah, and killed them all. And then killed 4,000 or wounded 4,000 additional senior and mid-level terror operatives of Hezbollah in those explosive-laden, you know, pagers and walkie-talkies. What army in history has ever taken out the 4,018 top people in a terror organization? What's more, Israel has hit the Hezbollah infrastructure so hard in Lebanon that now U.S. as well as Israeli intelligence assessments indicate that Israel has destroyed 50% of Hezbollah's missile arsenal. Now they had 150,000 missiles, so there's still 75,000 missiles pointed at us, 200 of which were fired today at Israel while Israelis were mourning and marking this terrible day. But what I'm saying is, Congressman, that you've got a situation in which Israel has been so successful and has also defeated and broken the back of Hamas in Gaza. So there's more to do, don't get me wrong. But right at the moment where Israel is winning, the Biden-Harris team is trying to pressure us to surrender. And I think that we are at the most dangerous moment in the war right now because Netanyahu and his team believe that this is probably the moment. That's what they're debating internally. Is this the moment to go for a decapitation strike to take out the Iranian terror leadership as well as neutralize and destroy Iran's nuclear weapons facilities and probably destroy the oil refinery capacities of Iran? Why? Because that's where the money comes from that fuels and funds the Iranian nuclear weapons program and also, you know, funds the regime and all this terrorism. So Biden and Harris are putting tremendous pressure. Bibi, don't do it. I think he's going to do it. And I think it's going to be messy. But I think in the end, 6 months from now, a year from now, you or Tony Perkins or some, and I will be chatting and saying, oh my gosh, Israel really is the dominant superpower in the region, bar none. And I think the Saudis will then make peace with Israel. I think that even the Lebanese, if we destroy the Hezbollah infrastructure, terror infrastructure, I think we may see the Lebanese people and army and you know, would be, you know, troubled Lebanese government rise up and maybe even overthrow the rest of Hezbollah and even want a peace treaty with Israel. Not since the days of King David and King Solomon, when David was making peace with the Queen of Sheba, which was the Queen of Arabia, now it's Saudi Arabia, and then David and then Solomon were making peace with Lebanon, King Hiram, who was the king of Tyre at the time, that was the capital of what we call Lebanon today, not Beirut. Those were amazing days of peace and security and spiritual growth for Israel. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I think all evangelicals should be praying for. But it's going to be a hard road ahead, especially if the United States keeps cutting Israel loose.
Well, I'm in your camp in just guessing what Netanyahu is going to decide today to do. I agree with that. Part of the problem on this side that most Americans do not understand, and frankly, it sounds perhaps reasonable to many, is when our administration talks about peace from the perspective of a two-state solution, which you and I both know there is no way to have peace with that kind of solution. Explain, if you can, quickly why that really is not an option.
Well, the first thing is because in the book of Joel, not my books, but the actual biblical book of Joel, chapter 3, God says he's going to judge all the nations that divide his land. So the United States does not want to be part of dividing God's land and creating a two-state solution. But even if a person wanted to set aside God's word, I don't recommend that. But just practically speaking, you know, Gaza's controlled by a genocidal, demonically driven terror organization. How, you know, we're not going to make a two-state solution with Hamas. And then the West Bank, what we call biblically Judea and Samaria, that's controlled by the most corrupt government in the Middle East. 89% of Palestinians, 89% of Palestinians want Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to step down yesterday, because they don't like him, they don't trust him, they don't trust the entire government. So why would we make a two-state solution agreement with – and by the way, the two-state solution is offered, has been offered every few years since 1967, 57 years, and the Palestinians have never said yes. So why would we think they would say yes today? The key, of course, is helping Palestinians have, you know, their human rights and their civil rights protected. But not they don't have the right, and we should not give them the right or the ability to build terror states next to us. Remember, as you know, but I'm saying it to the audience, in 2005, Israel completely withdrew every Israeli soldier and civilian from Gaza.
Right.
And said, make a Palestinian paradise. You have beachfront property on the Mediterranean. You have trillions of cubic feet of natural gas off your shore. We're gonna leave. You can have it. We don't even want a peace treaty for it. Build a Palestinian paradise. Instead, they build a Palestinian terror camp that has led to genocide, or the efforts to do genocide. So we've tried this.
There was a two-state solution. That one didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So real quickly, we've only got a little over a minute left. How does the church in America need to stand with Israel? How can we pray for Israel right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, we need to pray that God will change the hearts of the American leadership, the president and the vice president, towards Israel, or remove them from office. That's my first and most important prayer. The second prayer, of course, is for wisdom for Prime Minister Netanyahu and his government. Even if you don't like it or disagree with it, they need wisdom to know how to navigate and to win a seven-front war. Not easy to do, especially when America is not 100% with you. Third, we as the church need to be thinking, how can we be a witness to and strengthen the local church in Israel and the Palestinian territories and the region, a region I call the epicenter? So that's what our ministry, the Joshua Fund, does. We invest financially, prayerfully, and with training the local church so they can be a witness. So they can share the gospel, fulfill the Great Commission. Gaza's shattered. I've been in Gaza as a reporter for my TBN show and All Israel News, All Arab News. It is an apocalyptic wasteland. The 2 million people that live in Gaza, they need hope, and the gospel will bring them that hope. And those are the things that I would encourage us to be praying for: victory, and then spiritual awakening in Israel and among her neighbors.
Thank you so much, Joel Rosenberg, host of Rosenberg Report on TBN. It's been my honor to speak with you. And my honor to be with Prime Minister Netanyahu in the past, and the incredible leaders there at Israel. This is our time to pray for them. Thank you for joining us on Washington Watch. Friends, that wraps up this edition. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.